The text is the lesson read by Carl a moment ago, 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 and following. And if we need cue cards, these phrases are helpful. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. I obtained mercy, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Are you sure that you belong here in a seminary? You probably believe that becoming a pastor or a deaconess is good for you. That's why you're here? Friend, are you good for the ministry? About his place in the gospel ministry, St. Paul could not be certain in himself. His autobiography is the account of a struggle with skeletons which made their way out and to the church and into the world. Your skeletons, which make you blush with shame and regret, sometimes despair. All this baggage going with you into the Lord's ministry? No. So very heavy the weight and the burden, and St. Paul could not carry it, nor did he have to carry it. For grace, God's grace, overflowed toward him, and he began a new chapter in his life in the ministry. How is your book? The one about you, that autobiography about you as the Lord's servant, how is it coming along? Woe to the individual who ignores these matters and boasts in pride that he or she is the world's special gift to the church and its ministry. Take it from the apostle. A man from the best stock in Israel, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee no less. And yet, for all of his distinguished pedigree, Paul was never convinced that he deserved this calling, the holy ministries. All the kudos he counted as loss. And we? Do we dare to presume that the church and the ministry would just be lucky to have the likes of you and me? Who are we, really? Because it takes a miracle to make a Christian. It takes a second miracle to place him or her in the church's ministry. Because of that, let's step down from that pedestal and get down very low and plead with the psalmist, hear my prayer and enter not into judgment with thy servant. St. Paul, so humbled, he could not break forth in the doxology in verse 17 until he first confesses, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not about us. It's about our Lord who places Paul in the ministry and who placed Timothy and Titus and then the early and the later fathers, the reformers, and our forebears in the Missouri Synod, and then each of you today, not as one deserving a place in the ministry and in the church, and yet he places us there into a ministry so very much undeserved on our part for the reason of our sins and the shame of it all, such baggage. And do you know, there are not any good intentions. There are no convenient memory lapses. There's no clever hiding behind black shirt and collar. There's no amount of study and training. And I can tell you, no multiplied years and decades in the service and the calling of a pastor can deal with such baggage. The apostle had been a blasphemer, a persecutor of the Lord, a violent bully of Christians, and that baggage would not go away. No, it wouldn't. And time heals wounds, perhaps, but not our sins. And the ministry is, frankly, out of reach for every one of us, except by our Lord's intervention. And such an intervention was grace and mercy overflowing Paul. And well, it might be superabundant, especially for you and for me. Persecution, blasphemy, bullying, he did all of that in ignorance. What does he mean by that? We think that he means that he did that in unbelief prior to his conversion. But now consider you and me. Our sin and our shame are post-conversion, post-baptism. And who can roll back and defeat all of that except a very transforming truth? Paul expresses it, I received mercy. Paul and all of us moving toward the ministry received mercy. That's how. And such grace was so overflowing in Christ Jesus, Paul adds, with faith, in his instance, replacing his prior unbelief, and with love, replacing his prior brutality in the church, if you will. Faith and love, a couplet, so hard to come by, so impossible to come by, but so much needed in the ministry. And yet faith and love are the outflow of the overflowing abundance of grace for Paul and for you and for me. And it's so very down to earth, this thing called grace. It's not abstract, it's not ethereal, it's so very concrete, as that worthy saying Carl read a moment ago. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, the first and the worst. Though each of us could debate Paul on that point, and probably take from him the first place as sinner. But Christ our Lord, in his suffering and death by the cross, and his rising to leave the tomb empty, testimony to his great victory, upholds grace. Grace, superior, invincible, dealing finally and forever with all that baggage, and setting us free and catapulting us out into the ministry. That's the grace that Paul's talking about this morning. And it's grace that is strong. And you know, grace must be strong. For grace is so abused. You know how it goes. The tendency for any one of us to see ourselves more favorably than other sinners. We would never do anything like Saul of Tarsus did. Not us. Such pride diminishes grace. That's an abuse. Or the very opposite. My life, it's so terrible. It's so sordid. It's broken, and the shame is too tragic. Instead of good timber that God can use in his kingdom, why, I'm nothing but rotten wood. And such deprecation, my friends, is also an abuse of God's grace, if you will. Or There may be one or another of us who are determined to challenge how strong grace is, and let's see how good it is. Let's really test the fiber by spending our years here at the seminary, going out into the city and sinning more flagrantly in order that grace may abound toward us all the more. And that is a cheapening of grace. And such abuses, we all know, are quite common. Diminishing grace, weakening grace, cheapening grace. All of them insults to grace and to the God of all grace. And yet, by its very nature, though incomprehensible to us, this grace of God prevails and endures against any of the abuses with such powerful effect on us that the Holy Spirit moves us beyond sin and shame, all forgiven in Christ, so that we may become what Carl read a moment ago, a showcase for the persons we have yet to meet in our future ministry. Those who also by grace should yet believe in Christ unto life everlasting. Sooner could you become, by your own reason or strength and by your own determination, a Hindu, a Muslim, or a Buddhist. But a Christian, a pastor, or a deaconess, never, never, except by grace and grace alone. The book of life that each of you is writing, how is it going? And how are you filling the pages? Hopefully by grace, so that at the last chapter, and when the covers are closed, that book can be set on the shelf alongside the books about Paul and Luther and every other, thousands of them through the ages, pastors and deaconesses who were so by grace and grace alone. We started humbly with a hush. I thank God. I thank Christ Jesus my Lord. By grace I'm saved for the ministry too. And we end, not with a hush, but exuberant and boisterous, as did Paul in verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.